Well, this morning we're going to talk about vessels. The Lord laid that on my heart about a month or maybe more ago. We're going to talk about vessels, and you'll see vessels that are here. Those are just kind of to give you a visual that they're different kind of vessels that we use. What is a vessel? You know, there are many kind of vessels. You might have things that come to mind that are different than the things that I have come to mind. But vessels are merely containers. They're something that holds something else. Now, if you look in a dictionary, generally it's related to a liquid. A vessel is something that carries liquid, like a ship, like a blood vessel. Okay, those are vessels. Today we're going to look at Scripture and get an idea of what a vessel is scripturally. In 2 Kings 4, 1 through 4, we're going to read the story of the widow with the sons. And in the King James, it's the cruse of oil unfailing. She had oil, and that oil, as she poured it out, it didn't stop. 2 Kings 4, 1 through 4. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha. She was desperate. And she said, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the Creator is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." And that day, if you didn't pay your debt, they didn't do something as simple as call you on the phone night and day, and then you change your phone or you cut off your home phone. Oh, we know your number. We got it. Or, you know, they didn't text you and say, you know, alert, alert, you've forgotten to pay your bill. If you did not pay your bills, they would come and take either the husband or the children to debtor's prison, and they would have to work that debt off. So that's what she was afraid of happening. "So the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" He wasn't saying, "What can we sell on eBay? What do you have that we can put on an online site and we'll get you some money real quick?" That wasn't what he was saying. He was instructing her to look at what already had been provided in her house. And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Don't gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." Now, the widow had oil. And this was an important thing, especially in biblical times. Oil was representative of several things, and it meant that they had financial help because they could take that oil and sell it. They could use it to barter, or they could use it as a trade for income. Second, they could use it as a medicine. We don't have a problem with medicines today. Like, we can just call our doctor or go in to see a pharmacist and get something over the counter. But in those days, they didn't have that. So oil was used to heal things. It is also a sustenance for food. You know, we've all come back kind of to olive oil, haven't we? Rather than vegetable or different kinds of oils, because we know that it's good for our bodies. It's the part of the Mediterranean diet. Can't you see I follow that? But I do use more olive oil than I used to. So oil also represented the Holy Spirit. All through the Bible, you would see where people would be anointed. If you were going to be a king, or if you were a prophet, or all of these positions, they would take the oil and they would anoint you. And you better know that this Jewish mama knew what the oil represented. But Elisha told her to go borrow vessels from everywhere. She sent her sons to collect them, and she got them from Granny and Mama, and auntie and nanny, and you better believe they had it all. If they would have had Facebook, it would have been all over the place. I need vessels. The prophet told me, get me some vessels. And no telling what those neighbors or family members sent her. You know, it could have been a Tupperware, a big old Tupperware thing with no lid. How about one of those old cereal keepers, you know, all ratty and used and worn, styrofoam ice chest with a big hunk out of it, or the handle didn't work, gumbo pots. Who's eating crawfish today? I'm going to be double anointed after church today. We're having crawfish. And so, you know, no telling what those neighbors brought. Containers, vessels like these. We don't know what they brought, but it really didn't matter what kind of vessel they brought. What mattered is she needed vessels, and the prophet said, don't just get a few, get a lot of them. She needed those vessels. And so in our walk with God, we're going to correlate this. In our walk with God, you and I can be vessels. And God doesn't just want a few of us. He wants a lot of us. We can be vessels. It's really up to us to decide what kind of vessels we're going to be. Are we going to be like the ratty old Tupperware? You know, the kind that somebody warmed chili in? You know, and it's got like the bubbles on the inside and it's kind of orange. Is that how, you know, you don't want to go down with your legacy as a old funky Tupperware, right? Okay, or maybe a strainer that it can't be used for anything because it has holes in it. How about this? This is what I want to be. I want to be a big old Magnolite pot. It's sturdy. A little while back ago, Tommy, where's Tommy? Well, Kathy, you just wave at us. This is Kathy. And her husband, Tommy, knows that every Sunday we have Sunday dinner for our kids. I have Sunday dinner for our kids, and I'll cook, and so I cook in big pots. And he was getting rid of some Magnolite, which was beautiful, like gorgeous Magnolite. And he asked me if I wanted this big old, not the baby roaster, like the big old mama pot. And so he gave me that. I love that Magnolite pot. But it's strong. It's dependable. I have a set that we got. When I thought that I was probably going to be getting married, I bought a set of pots. That was the first thing I bought. You know, if you're going to be a wife, you got to have a set of pots. And I bought those Magnolite pots. And, you know, I still have them, and it's close to 40 years later. I still have those Magnolite pots. But, you know, it's so important that we are a good vessel. So we're going to talk today about some different kinds of vessels. First off, we're going to talk about being a serving vessel. A serving vessel is willing, available, dependable, and they're close to God. Acts tells us God chose David, and he chose him because the word says he will do everything I want him to do. Man, how's that for being a servant? I'll do whatever he wants, but whatever he wants me to do, I'm going to do. Even Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Jesus said to the Father, not my will, but thine be done. These men were open to be serving vessels. They were close enough to hear his voice. Have you ever had a situation where somebody's saying in another room, but they think you can hear them? Or maybe you have an open concept, but they're kind of around the side and they tell you something. You're like, come closer. Wait, I didn't hear that. What did you say? And you might come closer. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be so close that we can hear even his whisper, the whisper of his voice. I want to read this quote. I particularly like this one, but there's one more that I like even more, and it's coming up. Where will you be in relationship to God is essential to being used by him. Where you are in relationship to God is essential to you being used by him. Another one, and this is my favorite. Align yourself as close as you can to your pastors. If you are there next to them, you will be pulled into ministry with them because you make yourself available to them and God. And I want to just read what I wrote about a serving vessel. They're willing, they're available, they're dependable, and they're close to the Lord. And if you use this quote, you're also, if those are true, you're also going to be close to your pastors, to those in authority over you. And when that happens, you know, pastors, I can speak, my father was a pastor, my grandfather was a pastor, my sister and her husband are pastors, their children are all pastors. And so I come from a lineage of pastors and pastors' family. And can I tell you that as pastors, your pastors don't look so much for spiritual giants as they look for people who show up and put up. They just show up and they're there and they're like beside you and they're just hanging out. And you're like, hey, while you're hanging out, you want to do this? Now, of course, there are certain roles that need that spiritual maturity. But half of what we do is just, hey, you're there and you're available and you smile. I'll take you. How about that? I'll give you an illustration. Wave at us, Tamara. This is Tamara. We have a Wednesday night once a month prayer and worship service. And we were praying. And then Pastor was leading and he asked me to lead a prayer, and then I stepped down, and we had people who were here in the altar area, and Tamara was right about there, and we had just had two people move out of town that used to do transition, which is what we call when we come out of worship and offering and announcements, and we had just had two of our people move on, and so we needed people on that team, and I was standing there, and Tamara was right in front of me. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, ask Tamara. It was not even like up here to ask Tamara that. And so I tapped her on the shoulder. I said, I want to ask you, after it was over, I want to ask you something. And so I asked her if she would consider that. And she said, that's exactly what God's speaking to my heart. That's exactly what he prepared me for. Now, of course, in that situation, we're talking actual proximity of a person. But really, like, I opened my eyes from the prayer, and she was there, and the Lord dropped that in my spirit. And I asked her to do it, and she was willing, and even felt like God had been preparing her to do that. But there is also a proximity in the Spirit of God where you open yourself as a vessel, and you say, yes, God, I'm willing. Lord, whatever you want me to do. I also remember, and these are little sidelines, but it helps us to understand when Chris Bloom, we were going to ask him to be on that same team. In fact, we did. But we were standing right back about three quarters of the way back in the center section, and they had been with us just not too long, maybe 6 months or so. And I asked him to do it. He said, I'll do whatever you need me to do. Yeah. Like, yeah, if you need me to do that, you know, I'm a little nervous about it, but I'll do it. And so, you know, he was trained, and right before he got ready to get up there, a spot opened where our youth pastor moved away. And it was all good. You know, it's all good. We're still in relationship with them. But he and Brittany had started serving in youth ministry. And so what happened? They were close in proximity. They had already been serving in that area. And so they got called up to the big leagues. You know, they were like, hey, I know who we'll use. And, you know, and then again, it's like, whatever you need us to do. Can I tell you, a serving vessel is so important in the body of Christ and in families as well. And be dependable. If you're asked to do something, do it with all your heart. Do it mightily. I'll give you an example of that. I had an angel food cake pan. Our family loves angel food cake. But this one went way back to my mom. So, and my mom was elderly when she passed, it close to 90. And so her angel food cake pan had been through the wringer. But after I had used it a couple of years, it had a kind of little spots where the coating had come up. And so I said, I need a new angel food cake pan. So I went out and bought one. Now, this one had two parts. I didn't know that there was a difference. It had the middle part lifted out. So, but I didn't, it was sold as an angel food cake pan, okay? But I mixed up the stuff, and while I'm waiting for the oven to warm up, I went into the other room. I come back. There is angel food cake batter everywhere. On the floor, down the dishwasher, on the granite. It's everywhere. That angel food cake pan was not dependable. It wasn't. It was a lie. The whole thing was a lie. It was not an angel food cake. Maybe a brownie batter, because that wouldn't go through. But, you know, we have to be dependable. As a serving vessel, it's important that we're dependable. Okay, how about this one, a closed vessel? A closed vessel says, this is what you're getting, this is all you're getting. Nothing's coming in and nothing's going out. Okay, this is, I'm closed. I'm closed to the Spirit. I'm closed to you. My wall is going up. I'm a closed vessel. My mind is made up. In fact, the widow had this to a certain degree. When she was asked what she had, this was her confession. I have nothing at all. Kind of like, I have nothing at all. All right, I have nothing at all, except maybe a little jar of oil. She just sat back. And she wanted the prophet to do it all for her. But if we put our hope and confidence in him and we surrender, we can be open vessels. We don't want to be closed vessels. We can't, but God can. Oftentimes, as a closed vessel, and a lot of times it's just an insecurity. It's not that we don't want to be an open vessel. We just don't think we can. We don't think we have anything valuable. And so we're closed vessels, but we can't do it. But through God and hope in him, he can do it through us. You can accomplish more than what you think. How about this one, a chosen, honored vessel? Now, our chosen, honored vessels are, they've emptied themselves out of sin. Now, that doesn't mean they're perfect. We all have our weaknesses and things that we struggle with, but it means we have decided not to walk in habitual sin. And the scripture tells us this about vessels in 2 Timothy. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So a chosen vessel is useful and they are prepared. I want to be useful. Do you want to be useful? Right. You know, we're useful in our jobs or we're not going to get a paycheck, right? Right. But with the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, when we are useful, the benefits are in this world, but they are out of this world as well. They're eternal, eternal benefits. I want to be a vessel that God can say, let's see, I need a vessel. Who am I going to use? And he's just, you know, just looking and just maybe picture a bookshelf. And he's just looking down those books and he goes, Becky, that's who I'm going to use. And he'll pick me off that shelf and say, she's the one I'm going to use for this project. That's what I want to be. I want to be a chosen vessel, not just any vessel. God picks the right vessel for the right job. You know, we have people here who are just smilers. They're welcomers. Well, that's who we're going to ask to serve at the front door. You know, when you go to Walmart, you want a greeter who's going to at least say, hi, how are you today? Not, here's your buggy, right? So, and we've all been there. Amen? Yeah, that's a good amen moment. So not just any vessel, but the right vessel. I don't use a lasagna pan if I'm making vegetable soup. And I don't get the gumbo pot if I'm frying pork chops. right? I don't get one of those big old orange containers, thermos containers, if I just want a sip of water to take a little aspirin with or something. I need the right tool, the right vessel for the right job. God uses certain vessels according to how he has prepared them. And you know, there are so many things that prepare us in life, but we can empty ourselves of willful sin. We know God delivers us from things so that we can be a pure vessel. Spending time in the Word of God and prayer, priority to the kingdom of God, preparing ourselves for use in the ministry. We look at the Apostle Paul. He started out as Saul. He was a persecutor of the Christians. And he had the authority to send forth words and have Christians murdered. And he was highly educated. He was the Pharisee. He called himself a Pharisee of Pharisees. In other words, he was in the religious structure, and he knew all about the religious structure. And he says, here's the story of Saul in Acts 9. Now, there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he replied. The Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming and laying hands on him so he can see again." "But Lord," claimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, 'Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take the message of the Gentiles to kings as well as to the people of Israel.'" You see, Saul had been chosen by his life experiences. A chosen vessel is prepared by life experiences through God's providence. It's not us. It's nothing we can do. But God will use the things in your life that have happened to put you in a position to be a chosen vessel. A chosen vessel is found in God's time. Look at Saul here. Now, I have to remind you, Saul had murdered Christians. There had to be many Christians that were murdered for it to get back to the church that people were being murdered. Realize there was no TV. There were no phones. There was no internet. There was no Facebook, no social media. So that's how many people he had killed where word had gotten back to people that he was a murderer of the Christians. And so Saul was found at a certain time. God didn't say, "Oh, Saul's going to kill some Christians, so right now I'm going to call him." He didn't call him before he murdered Christians. He called him at an appointed time. Now, why? We don't know why. We don't know why God allowed that, allowed him to go through that. But there was something that happened in the course of his history, his story, that made it necessary for that to happen before he was chosen. So don't sit back and say, "Why didn't they choose me? Why wasn't I chosen for this job? Why wasn't I handpicked to do this or that? Why did they use this person?" Things happen because of God's providence in our life, the things that God has ordained for a certain time. As an honored vessel, it is our desire for God that makes us an honored vessel, not our own abilities. Many of you would say, "I could never stand up here and preach. I could never do that." But you could. Really, you could. Probably 8/10 of us could do that. Some of us just are not, you know, we're not shaped that way. But there are so many things that you could do if you just become an open vessel, a yielded vessel. Listen to what the Bible says. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand. Because, you know, it's great to know that it's not on our shoulders. Like, it's not because of me. It really isn't. When my mother passed away, we were very close. Our family was very close. And when my mom passed away, it was the first of my parents that had passed. You know, her funeral was here. She was laid out right here. And I'm like, how in the world am I going to do that? As the mother of this house, and then also we had so many friends coming in from out of town. We have a very small family, but we have a great big God family. And my dad was fulfilled positions in our minister's organization, and we knew there'd be a lot of people. And I didn't know how I was going to handle my emotions. God gives us our emotions, and they are to help us deal with things. But I didn't know. I said, how am I going to be the mother of the house? How am I going to receive all these people and hold it together? But, you know, the Lord just gave me such grace. And so I stood right there, kind of where my daughter Rachel is, and stood right there. And as people came in, and, you know, God just gave me such grace. And sometimes we put so much emphasis on, I can't. I could never do that. Rather than saying, through God, I can do whatever I need to do. Whatever you are confronted with, you are going to be able to do. If you look to Him, if you acknowledge Him, if you say, God, I can't do this, but through you, I can do it. And can I say, like, He just took me, and it felt like I was on a cloud, and all the way through. And, you know, He didn't drop me, because 2 years later when my father died, I felt exactly the same peace. My niece told me, and she's closer in age to me than my actual sister. My sister's 12 years older than I am. My niece is 8 years younger. And so she said, you need to say something. I said, there's no way I can say anything. She looked at me. She said, you need to say something. And it just kind of bucked me up where I was like, yeah, I need to say something. And so I got up here and, you know, a couple of times had a little breakdown, but that was natural. And there's nothing wrong with showing your emotions. I'm not saying you have to always hold it together, but God helped me through that. And I was able to verbally honor my mother, and I wouldn't trade that for the world because I knew I did her proud. And I know today, like if God allows us to see things, like she is like beaming from here to here. She, you know, she'd be sitting right there next to Kristen on that row, and she'd just be beaming. But God will help you to do things that you never thought you could do. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. This is in the Message Bible, and it helps us to understand how God views us. Take a look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. Pause and think about that. What did you look like? I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks for that vote of confidence. Not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? He chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. Everything we have, right thinking and right living, a clean slate and a fresh start, comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, that's the truth. So another vessel is a worship vessel. How many of you want to be a worship vessel? How many of you are worship vessels? All right, every service we come into what is called worship service. But do you know that worship is much more than just singing or clapping or you know, just verbalizing songs? It's much more than a song. It's a life we live every day of the week. When you think about it, on Sunday, we have about a 20-minute worship service, and on Wednesdays it's shortened to about 10 or 15 minutes. So that's 35 minutes if you come to both services. And so that's 35 minutes of that type of worship. So God gives us like almost 7 whole days that we need to be a vessel of worship. The greatest act of God is giving our entire self to God. But how do I do that, you ask? This is how I am a worshiper. I pass every thought and every action through the lens of the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures. So that means you have to know the Word of God, because you can't do that unless you know God's Word. So I am a worship vessel by passing everything I think and everything I do through the lens of knowing God. In other words, every day I have decisions to make. And I want to do this God's way, but I also want to do it my way. You ever have that thought? I have that thought. Come on, be real. I really want to do this, but man, I know God says do this, but I really want to do this. And if we step out and do that, there are going to be consequences. And that's not leading a life of worship. Each time I say no to me and yes to Him, I am strengthening my capacity as a worship vessel. My capacity. Okay, if we look at, say, well, let's just use this offering bucket. That has a smaller capacity. And by the looks of it, we're going to need bigger offering buckets. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so that has a smaller capacity. And then this one definitely has a small capacity. It's small enough I can lift it. It just, you know, it just has, this one is probably the smallest, even though it's not smallest in size, and there's a whole nother story in that. But it has a shallow capacity, and then this one, and then we have probably this one and this one. Each of us have different capacities according to how we have prepared ourselves to be a vessel. And so as a worship vessel, the more we strengthen ourselves to worship, the more we smile at the people at the fast food restaurant instead of wanting to curse them or wanting to give them a few, or just, you know, the mama look. You know, it's the one eyebrow out and a severe stare. And if you're a new mom, you need to learn it, because it comes in very handy. But, you know, as an act of worship, we can be kind to people who are not kind to us. And we cannot repay evil when they've done evil to us. That can be an act of worship. When we say worship, it doesn't have to be lifting your hands. It doesn't have to be dancing or jumping or shouting or singing. Worship can be a lifestyle. Now, of course, especially I am a former lead worshiper, and I am still a worshiper. It is my most favorite subject to talk about when I speak, but the Lord says I need to vary it up a bit, so I just insert little nuggets on worship instead. That's my way of saying, okay, God, but can I just have a little segment? So we're going into that segment. Of course, worship, singing, clapping, lifting our voices, honoring God is a big part of being a worship vessel. It closes out distractions. You know, in a church service, there are distractions. You know, people coming in, someone needs to go to the restroom. You know, a child having a little noisy moment, which we love children. We're not against children. But sometimes little things can be distracting. Somebody in front of you having a conversation, or somebody using their cell phone, you're like, Lord, why did they come to church? They've been on their cell phone the whole time church has been going. Those things can be distractions for us. Even if we have a glitch in the music, or a glitch with the overheads, or what do we even call those? With production, or even if we have glitches in services where the mic like makes a loud noise, those things can be distraction. But you know, if your heart is intent on worshiping God and your eyes are closed and you're loving Jesus and you're just thanking Him with lifted hands and my heart just honoring you, those things become less distracting. And the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. So it connects us to God's Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is then our focus. I love this quote by Carrie Weems. Refuse to be content with just the knowledge of God, but insist on experiencing His presence. And once you experience the presence of God, you are ruined. Like, you need it, you want it, you love it, the experience of the presence of God. And as a worship vessel, we are transporting the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, the oil of the Spirit, we transport that. Now, I'd like to talk about being a broken vessel. And I think so many of us can understand being a broken vessel. Many of us come to Christ and we've been traumatized. We've been wounded. We've been hurt. Life has not done us justly, or what we feel is just. And I want to tell you, God wants to use those things that the enemy has meant for your harm to turn around for your good. Romans 8:28 tells us that we know all things work together for good to those who are the called according to His purpose for them. God uses those things. I'd like to read something that might help us illustrate that. A great Japanese leader had been given a prize tea bowl that he valued greatly. Accidentally, it was broken. He loved it so much that he sent it to be repaired. But when it came back, he wasn't happy with the job that was done. So he commissioned craftsmen to find a more aesthetically pleasing method of repair for his prized possession. When it was returned to him, the tea bowl had been repaired with powdered gold epoxy, which cemented the parts together. So you still saw the cracked places, but now they were a beautiful addition to the valued item. You see, instead of throwing away that broken item, this culture put them back together. And they made the cracked part of the item a beautiful piece of gold-veined art that had been restored. You know, Jesus knows every area where you've been broken, because He's the one who made you, right? The Bible talks about He is the potter and we are the clay. That's talking about a vessel maker. And so He made you, and He knows that time that person did you wrong. He knows the wounds of your childhood. He knows any abuse you have had to go through. He knows perhaps the addictions that you've dealt with in your life. He knows. He understands. And can I tell you, just like this Japanese leader, He wants to put you back together. He cares about it. He doesn't want to leave you there. But those cracks that are in this item, this bowl here, this vessel, they are part of the history of that vessel. You notice that He didn't throw it away. He didn't even say, just forget you were that, and I'm making you this now. He made it a part of the vessel, just like this guy who repaired this vessel did. We all have a beautiful story of redemption. Some of us have stories where we were saved. I was saved at 4. You know, is that possible? I mean, I came to an altar and I cried about what sins, like at 4 years old. But that doesn't mean my life was perfect. That doesn't mean that, as we've already talked about, every thought or action was funneled through the Scripture and the Holy Spirit. So we all have times that we come back to God, and we get to say, God, purify me, cleanse me. And He doesn't just take He doesn't take us like this bowl and just go, okay, be gone. No, what He does is He restores us. If you've been broken today, God won't replace you. He wants to restore you. Now, going back to our story, Elisha's instructions were quite simple to the widow. And so we're going to read that story. I'll pick up where it says, he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from your neighbors empty vessels. Don't gather just a few. And when you have come in, shut the door. Do you remember that in almost all of Scripture? When Jesus did a great miracle, he'd say, don't tell anybody. You remember that? Well, here we have it in the Old Testament where he said, shut the door. Keep the naysayers out. If they're negative, like, you don't need it. You don't need that in your life. So I really believe that's why he said, shut the door, because we're about to do something. And the Lord would say, he would take one disciple with him and he'll say, keep everybody else out, right? So that's what the prophet did here. And he said, shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into the vessel and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Now, the prophet told her two things. He told her, go get the vessel, and he said, shut the door. Those were her instructions. So when her sons brought the vessels, these are just kind of symbolic. We did it so you could just kind of see what was happening. When they brought those vessels in, she shut the door, and she began pouring the oil. And Theon brought this in for me, and I think that was the Lord that had her do that, because this is something that you pour. So as she began to pour that oil, she poured the oil out. Every vessel was filled. Every vessel was filled. Now, remember, that's symbolic of the Holy Spirit in the house, right? So that oil didn't stop flowing until every vessel was filled. She didn't run out of oil when there was still this much left at the top. Every single one of those vessels was filled. And, you know, God is ready to fill them all. This morning, you're a vessel, and God's ready to fill you. Every single vessel that came, he filled. Think about your life. If you come to Christ, he is wanting to fill you. As I was preparing this week, for this message this morning, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And there's somebody here who needs this. So it's very simple little sentence, but I'm going to say it. It's going to mean something to someone. No one can take your place as a vessel. Nobody can take your place. Now, you can take that a couple of ways. Nobody can take your place, or nobody can fill your place. There are places that God needs filled that only you can fill it, that God intended for you to fill it. And so you are the vessel that God wants to fill. There are no more vessels, just like the son said. There are no more vessels, because they were already, the ones that were needed were there and filled. So her miracle of the oil was right there in her house. And just like he did for that widow, God wants to do over and above for you. He didn't want to just give you a drop of the Holy Spirit or a little bit of his touch or just enough where you talk about Jesus or hear about Jesus on a Sunday morning and then you go your blessed way and do your maybe unblessed stuff all week long. He wants every day to be filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit, just overflowing oil. Don't be just a few. Like, we don't want West Point Church to be known as just a few vessels. We want every single one of us be filled to overflowing with what God wants to pour into us. The prophet said, get the vessels. He said, get all the vessels. So I'm asking you today, where are the vessels? Like, that's what he was saying. Get the vessels. Like, where are they? Get our vessels. Can I tell you, our miracle, your miracle is right here in the house today. Your miracle is here. It's available today, right here, right now. You don't have to go any further being half filled or a little filled or just your toesies are in the oil. You need to be filled to overflowing with God's power. So today I'm calling all the vessels, the honored vessels, the chosen vessels, the worship vessels, the broken vessels. It's our mandate from God, just like it was the mandate to the widow to bring all the vessels. God has Pastor and I looking. We're looking for vessels. We are the overseers of the house. We're looking for willing, obedient, dependable, available, close to God vessels. Amen? It doesn't matter what kind of vessel you are. It doesn't matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you're young. It doesn't matter if you've been broken. What your capacity is. Remember, you might think you have no capacity, but God says you have great capacity. And you might start out doing something that takes small capacity. But as you're willing, as you open your vessel, God can build you, and he can take you like from start. I'm going to take, let me see somebody, I don't have this name, Gertrude. Do I have any Gertrudes this morning? He'll say, I'm going to pick Gertrude. She's on entry level. And he picks her, and then she's faithful, and she's dependable, and she's available, and she gets close to God. And he goes, oh, man, I'm not just going to use her there. I'm going to use her here, too. And then, you know, time goes by, and she just blossoms and blooms, and God brings her up to top notch where you know, she has so much influence and so much capacity to minister to people and to touch their lives. God is not worried about your position, your station, who you are, who you came from, what's been done to you, what you've done to someone else. That does not concern him. What concerns him is if you are willing, open and willing. Where are the vessels? So, amen. So as the oil was in the vessels, we don't know where the miracle took place. Did the miracle take place in this vessel where it just kept coming and coming? Or was the oil being reproduced in all of the vessels? Like, we don't know. But as she poured and she poured and she poured, there was a miracle that happened in the vessel. The oil was reproduced in the vessel. Now, think about it. I can see your wheels turning. The oil was reproduced in the vessel. Are you a vessel? Then the oil of the Holy Spirit is going to be reproduced in you as you allow God to use you. As you say, God, pour me out. God, pour me out. God, oh, you're not shouting as good as I'm preaching. God, pour me out. Use me. God, use me. God, use me. Pour me out. And you may think, yesterday I thought, I don't have another ounce of strength. I told Pastor, check, 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 check. We went from morning to 1 o'clock yesterday with great things, wonderful things. We had 3 graduation events preparing for today and, you know, just all the our Mother's Day things as well. And I told him at one point, I went, check. And then we did the next thing, check. Did the next thing, check. You may feel you have no more capacity. But listen, here's where the rubber hits the road, meets the road. What are you making yourself available to that you don't have a capacity for God? I'm preaching that, Pastor. What are you making yourself available that you have to say, God, I have this much capacity, God. This is what you get. Here's what you get, God. I'll be a vessel this much. But we are all, and I say all, A-L-L, every single one of them, me, Pastor included, we all give ourselves to something. What are we giving ourselves to? And God says, look, I'm not looking for Susie Christian. I'm not looking for Usher Johnny. I'm not looking, you know, for this one and that one. I'm looking for you. And, you know, when we stand before God, we're going to be accountable for one person. And it's us. And you know, I don't even want to personally, this is me personally, I don't want to stand before God and have had all of this capacity and done all this stuff and having done it because I'm afraid of what God's going to say to me. I want to do it willfully and joyfully and whatever God wants me to do. I want that to be my heart. And honestly, that's what I want your heart to be. To like, God, whatever you want. God, I'll be who you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go. I want to be a chosen vessel. I want to be a used vessel. I want to be a poured out vessel to you. He wants you. He doesn't care if you've been broken. He doesn't care what you've done, even yesterday, even this morning. He doesn't, that, I mean, other than the blood covering you, he wants that to happen. He wants you to have a personal relationship with him. But other than that, he's saying, just come. Just be my vessel. Even if it's entry level, just say, God, I don't have the capacity in myself, but I'm trusting you that whatever I need, whatever capacity I need, you're going to grow me. If you had told me 12 years ago I'd be standing here on Mother's Day generally, but other times filling a pulpit, I would have been, there's no way. Singing, yes, I can do that. Playing, yeah, I can kind of do that. But no, I can't do that. You see, as you give yourself, you have larger capacity. Amen? So I just want to ask you, and we'll have the worship team come. I just want to ask you today, and by no, listen, this is not me, and it's not Pastor. It's not our heart. And not by way of guilt or like, you know I'm a mama, so you know, pack your bags, we're going on a guilt trip. Not that. I really don't like that, and I don't think people like that. But for your best life, for you to be able to just have be the best vessel you can be. You know, what needs to change? Just let's pause a moment and just, you know, I can't answer for you as well as you can't answer for me. And so what is it that kind of needs an adjustment? And that might even be a better word, an adjustment. I want to be a vessel. I want the Holy Spirit to flow through me. And today, I have great news for you. The miracle is in the house. The miracle is in the house. And the miracle maker is in the house. And the one who creates a miracle in the vessel is in the house. Some of us, it's a miracle that we're a vessel. Like, when we think of our lives, it's like, wow, I can be used. It's that kind of thing. Others have been around the house of God a long time. And you know what? That can be somebody playing the game of a vessel. But God wants us just to be this kind of vessel. Like God, use me. I can't, you know, just like, I can't wait. We were at a wedding a couple of weeks ago. It was Jane and Duty's son. And the bride, Leah, I was on the front row with the family, and Leah was going, she had a long dress on, but she was so excited. She couldn't wait for it to be over. And so she could say she was married. She was so excited. And that's how we should be as vessels. Oh, I'm so excited. God's going to use me. God's going to pour into my life. I have this to do for him. I have that to do for him. It's not a job. It's a pleasure. And you may not ever do something where you're on staff or leadership, just where you smile at somebody, pray for somebody. You're just working in the kingdom, being a vessel in the body of Christ.